The best sheeter to have is to have no sheeters. That's the best.
It's on an MBD album. Yeah. I don't think it's on Spotify.
We'll get the new
chunk of MBD albums not there.
Let's sing the visions to Karibu.
Oh, man, MBD is the king.
Sheikh Ben David's the king.
Sheikh Ben David, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, so, for Shabbos, yes. Yeah. But we're bringing back. We're bringing back. I went to Tzfat. And hopefully in a few weeks, Rav Avshi, we were with Rav Avshi for Shabbos.
Oh, beautiful.
He's awesome.
And he's going to come to us for Shabbos in a few
beautiful.
Weeks.
Beautiful.
Yeah, hopefully the end of March. So that'll be really nice. But I got to recharge my batteries a bit.
Why didn't you recharge it?
What? No, I said I got to recharge my batteries in Tzfat. Yeah. Shabbos, and it was just... it was good.
But it's like weed.
Right, yeah, that's why I know I have to unplug. I saw a video. If you charge your phone too much, it's going to blow up. Yeah, it is.
It's the source of it, no?
Huh?
Right.
It's the source, the shorish.
100%.
Yeah. All the deliveries in Neyakov came from Tzfat.
Oh yeah,
that's how they got busted because they had. I knew the family that were bringing it. I never told the police, Chas Shalom, but they came and arrested the Rosh Yeshiva.
Yeah,
that was crazy. He, Baruch Hashem, he obviously didn't do anything. He was just had a yeshiva that happened to have a dealer who was connected to the family who were dealing it all from Svat.
I wanted to introduce myself.
Yes, oh, Geffen, Ibn and Geffen.
Nice to meet you, Eli Sharf.
When Rav Avshi comes, I would love to be around him.
You live here?
Yeah, I just moved here.
You'll be here.
Welcome. Yes, you'll be here.
Yeah.
No question.
You'll be here. Okay. I mean, again, it's tentative, so, you know. But
nothing's ever 100% until it's 100%.
That's spot-minded can be a...
Hopefully.
But, I would love to participate in whatever you guys
Yeah, whatever we're going to do.
All the
Siddiqim. If you do a not scheduled Oneg shop.
Not scheduled, right? That's going to... Nice to meet
true
you.
Onik. So we're just learning about Tanug now.
We're learning. You're right. Tzfat. One last thing about Tzfat. He was saying
Tzfat
that
is Tanug as well.
That Tzfat. He was saying that. Why? Because I was trying to understand from him what the source of Tzfat was.
Ruach, no.
Right. So he was saying it was Ruach. I was telling the Yud Kei Vav Kei and all this and all that. But
Arizal.
And the Arizal. But what brought the Arizal? He said Mashiach. You know, the Navi told him to come here. Yeah. But he came here. The Ramak was here. But I was trying to understand like, what brought the original, the OG. Tzadikim.
But the Tanoim. We're in
Tanoim, we're here, right? But I'm saying, again.
Shimba Yechai.
Why? Like, what is it about Tzfat? And so.
It overlooks Meron.
He said Tzfat is.
The Rimon.
Tzfat was. Is just. He was saying that all the other places, all the big places in the world, the cities, like New York City, everything's always based around commerce. So it's based around money, it's based around commerce, location. He's like.
That's why a lot of people told me never to move there because it's not based.
Well, yeah, but he said so. But so why is Tzfat still? Why was Tzfat a destination, and why is Tzfat just so much art? Is because that's all it is. Yerushalayim, although Yerushalayim at the base of Mikdash, it was also a place of business.
Right.
And all these other places, Tveria was a place of business. And all these other places were a place of business, so they also had
pure ruchnius.
He said the problem and the positive about Tzfat is that it's only. Ruchnius. That's all there was. There was nothing.
So you're
else.
Reminding me of a Torah.
It was always
Bresuit.
The poorest of the poorest.
He
places.
Said that's why there's no. There was never any avodah zorah there as well.
Right.
It was tahor, noki. That's why Shem and Ava's yeshiva
right,
was
Shem
there.
Shem and Ava's yeshiva was there. Right.
So it goes all the way back. So there's a certain tahara kedusha that enables for the purest form of Torah, which is the soda Torah,
right.
The panimis Torah, to come down. Now, what's going to be amazing about this perek? Now, it's interesting that there's definitely some min hashamayim hashgacha that we started off with Tzfat and the shira about Oneg and with Ginsburg and Chabad and we mentioned Jem and everybody together, yeah? Also Zara. Even the meaningful people over there.
Meaningful.
Yeah? Everyone's meaningful. So the point is that we brought up a lot. Oh, Rav Moshe Weinberger, that was a Gevaldik and Nekuda that Rav Shlomo said. The letter he wrote, Rav Moshe said, that's my letter. Because I've written probably the same letter to Rav Moshe. He never said such a good answer to me.
Right.
I have to look back at my old emails, his answers back to me. Oh, but I think it was, his main nakuda was just simcha and, you know, that whole thing, because people had a lot of tainas on Esh Kodesh or anyone who doesn't choose a derech. I met these people there. It was part of their snagdis towards what was going on, all these chaburas that were developing, like Shira Dovid now as well. That they don't have a specific derech. You know, I was told by a Dan, just become a Belzer. Why are you having so much Agmas Nefesh? Or the Yeshiva Shavua, be Yeshiva. Or the Chabadniks, just be Chabad. Yeah? or Brezhnev, and I worked for Brezhnev, the Brezhnevers were like, you're working for Avorish, how can you not be, you know, part of the Machane Brezhnev? Why aren't you Adasov for Rabbi Nachman and v'chulu v'chulu? You're in Uman, my husband helped sponsor you to come to Uman, your son to come to Uman, you know, and you're not even waving the flag. I said, your husband did it because he knows I'm a truthful person. I just, why do I have to wave a flag? You know, my kesher, yeah?
Right.
So I think the point is, it's a painful path, what Rav Shlomo said, but it's a truthful path. It's right. It's an Indian of neshamas klalis. There's certain neshamas of klali
right.
who are connected to the shoresh of klal Yisrael. Now, we've been learning in Tanya, the different levels of neshamas connecting to different parts of levels in terms of Rashayim, Beinanim, Tzadikim. So in the Tanya, we obviously want to head towards the level of Beinanim. Everyone should be trying to head towards Beinanim because being a tzaddik is something which seems more as a gift.
Right.
You know, like just based on the way I'm understanding it, it's like a level that you sort of need to be born of a sort of tzaddik neshama. Like maybe you can become it. You know, Rava, we learned at the beginning, calls himself a Beinanim. We'll get into that whole Indian. So Beinanim seems to be with the direction where we're heading. That's what we're going to start today, the Perek 12. Before we do begin the 12th chapter, we have to summarize this whole Indian of Rishoyim Gemurim and Rishoyim She'ena Gemurim. Yeah, this Resh, I can't even know how to say it in English, R-S-H-G, as Shmuel Diamond says it, or R-G. The Ridge, you said O-G, there's OG. The R-G. Who's the R-G? Rishoyim Gemurim, yeah?
Rishoyim Gemurim.
Which we don't want to be connected to. So the whole thing is with the Rishoyim Gemurim, it's very interesting, and I asked the Talmid Chacham this yesterday, Rav Yosef Bornstein, the Rosh Kollel here, I asked him about this whole Indian. He says the Tanya very much doesn't touch in detail on the Rishoyim Gemurim. It just goes over it. Like, you know, it's Derek Agav. It's not like Be'in. He mentions the Rishoyim She'ena Gemurim a lot. It's this whole parak we kept talking about the conscious of the soul, the guilt, the feelings that the Yetzer Tov arouses again and again after a person, a human, or a Yid. It seems to be, we're more talking about Yidin here. It seems to be
right,
doing.
I was going
to
ask that question. Are we talking about Yidin or Goyim here?
So it is about Yidin, but I asked Rav Yosef Bornstein because to me, I always learn it. So
who's that?
With Goyim. The Rosh Shiva, yes, next door.
Okay.
So he's a big Goyim in Chabad stuff. He's just a humble person, so you won't hear him talk.
Really? Rav Bornstein is big into
big Chabad. Yeah. He's written Svarim, like, on Mashiach and the Babish Rebbe, like he's a big person, but he just doesn't market himself that way. He's got written academic stuff in it.
Academia. Yeah.
He was even asked to teach in Mayanot, but it didn't work out for him.
Where Mayanot?
Yeah. I never got asked to teach in Mayanot. I'm in touch with Rabbi Bichlin, it never happened. But anyway, let me just explain this. This is quite a complicated concept. So the idea of Shadikim She'enu Gemurim, that we have a whole beautiful perek, and it's going to come up again and again. And also Tzadikim Gemurim is going to come up again and again. This idea of the B'nai Aliyah. But the Rishoyim Gemurim, he just touches on. So I said, but then that would be like Amalek, Hitler, Machshamam, you know.
Right.
Why is it Yidden? Yeah. So we're going to see at the end of the perek, there's going to be a nice sweetening of the whole Nakuda.
Right.
But the idea of the Rishoyim Gemurim, even Goyim can be included in the Sugya. Because even, so he said, the whole Muhammad's Amalek is a Muhammad Lamata. It's talking about below in this world. Even Amalek in its Shoresh has a root of some sort of Ta'elis, of some good. Yeah, we know that Haman's sons ended up learning in B'nai Brak. Yeah? They ended up becoming Talmid Chachamim. Shmuel Bar Shlishis, they say, was a descendant from Haman. He was a famous I think he was a Tana, who brought down the whole Indian of Hinnach and to the Lamed Tanokas. We learn out from him, and the whole Indian of Mishnah Niklas, Adam, Marb, and Besimcha. He understood it deeper than anyone.
Right.
It comes the time of Adah, so Moshe Wilson explains this, enters Adah, Mishnah Niklas, Adam, Marb, and Besimcha, because he was a descendant from Haman, that you can have a Hafuch, even Amalek, to Talmid Chacham, to Shmuel Bar Shlishis. Yeah.
Right, I guess he was a Magaya or something?
Yeah, they were Magaya. They escaped, and then was Magaya, and they learned Torah in B'nai Brak, and they became the Tanayim that taught us, Mishnah Niklas Adam, Marb, and Besimcha.
Right.
The whole Indian of the Simcha comes, the Koach, that even Amalek can become a Yid. Yeah. That even though we have to kill, we have Mitzvah Mechias Amalek, but somehow there's an Akuda that even them can become a Yid. That's the Koach of Purim, to make a Goy a Yid, Yadim. We're going to learn this in a minute. The Goyim become a Yid. So the idea that I'm going to talk about this whole Edom, Yadim, the Yidden became more Yidden. Yeah. So Yidden, Purim makes a Goy a Yid, culture can make a Yid a better Yid. Yeah? Just like the mikveh makes a Goy a Yid, it can make a Yid a better Yid. This whole concept. So we have to understand that there is a mikveh. So I know, I'll just say one meister, the Kovid Afshi, his father. Yeah, is that so?
Yeah.
I went to Svat with my brother-in-law. My brother-in-law was the first person to ever put tefillin. I mentioned this yesterday's Torah, whoever listens to the recording. And he was the first person to put tefillin on me. And it was Parshas V'yako. And this week we're working very closely together on a website. And I have to be honest, over the last few years, we haven't had much to do with each other, like practically. Even though we see each other once in a while, family things, we were very close at that time when he put tefillin on me. And now our relationship's awakened through certain business common ground. We're doing some work together. And this week specifically, we're spending a lot of time together. And I'm even going to be going to see him for his daughter's bat mitzvah and even have a paycheck to give him. Wow. I'm going to be handing money over. On the week that he put filling on me the first time, Parshas V'yako, I'm going to be going to a family simcha, and he hasn't had a simcha for years. So it's like Hashkacha Pratis, with our relationships come back. Baruch Hashem, should be a tzchus for him, tzchus for us.
Amen.
Put tefillin on me. But we were together in Tzfat, and we went to Arizal's mikveh, just the two of us. And we went in the middle of the night in the winter. It was freezing. We were like, what's the word, hyperventilating or something?
Yeah.
And with the place we were staying at had no heating. So it was like going to kill us. Like this was getting dangerous. So on the way, I said, no, let's not go back to our apartment. It's a dump. Let's go. We were staying some cheap, whatever. So let's go to Shalom Rav. I bet there's something going on there. Like it was late at night. We went in there and he was sitting learning a few other bochrim. Mamish late at night. He saw us. He looked at us. He saw us like blue from the cold of the mikveh because we just got to Svat. We wanted to go to the mikveh and even though it was nighttime. So he came. He went out to the kitchen, came back with boiling hot kugel, two nice big plates.
Wow.
Nice teas, warmed us up, literally. Like, probably say that. Could have got ill badly. He literally warmed us up. And it wasn't just that, the smile, the welcoming. And that was actually his father. Anyway, I've got loads of stories about him. But to get back to here, the idea of a Shoim, that they don't feature much. And we're going to see this, not. It's not the sugi of Chabad. When we're learning with Chabad is Mashiach already. There's going to be, he's already getting into, as by the end of this parak, the tikkun of the Rishon.
Mm.
But let's see. Yeah, let's learn it. So we got, the last time we were learning was about the there's always a little bit of good in this Rishon She'enu Gumam. Ach ben atayim Yisrachet boyim lo hiri tshuva kines tov z'nafsho mezgabe kasad ben atayim. So even that, even Rishon She'enu Gumam, he's always focused on the fact they have a little bit of good, so they're going to do tshuva ben atayim. Elesh ein lo des gavris kol kach netzach hazara. The problem is they're not strengthening themselves sufficiently to vanquish the evil. And that was my time on the world. They're not calling out enough the evil that's going on.
Yeah.
They're not fighting Hamas, they're not fighting wokeism, all this transgender nonsense. It is going to happen. The world's going to turn against it because it's evil. It's going to come and the world's going to wake up. But Am Yisrael need to lead that war. True. We need to wake up that Nekuda Tova, that Yetzer Tov, to remind the world they have values. And there is a path for humanity.
Mm.
Yeah, even Joe Rogan the other day said, you know, the only way I see the world getting fixed is through all these things. He mentioned the quoted Yoshka, but like, maybe not Yoshka, just principles of religion, like love and trust and connection and all the kinds of principles you'd want to get from religion. Yeah. And he said, so can't Yoshka come already? As he said, second coming, he started talking about it. I'm Rogan. He's like the least most religious guy. But he starts quoting, he's like, because he's not in
really
the end,
pro-Israel, though.
No, he's not really pro-Israel, but at the end of the day, his soul is the human soul is fed up with how wacky stuff has got. They've lost respect for all these things. It's like nonsense. And they're looking for Yeshua. And they can't see it coming from technology because technology is just making us in a darker place. So the only solution is, science is not bringing the solution. Science, the only thing is the soul. That's what I want. My vision of the world is to teach the world the language of the soul. Where am I going to get it from? From Netanya, I'm going to get it from Svarim of Siddiqim. That's what's going to teach me the language of the soul. So the idea that there's not enough good to be in that Seich on the Ra. We have to awaken the good. That's the Nukud, the soul level. We have to awaken it to be in that Seich on the Ra. Otherwise, if the soul level was stronger, then it wouldn't keep giving in to all these bad things. That's all the Nukud is, this battle. And that's why we want to not be by the Rishon. We want to be by the Beinanim and Siddiqim. Because otherwise you just keep falling into this habitual negative behavior, even though you feel bad, because you're still a good person, But you're stuck in this like cycle of feeling bad instead of just living in a mishechtik way, in a gevaldik way. Leforesh mechata legamrei. Yeah, leforesh mechata legamrei. You have to really rid himself entirely from the sin, but he's not able to. Limed of azav. But as one who confesses sin, abandons him once for all. The problem that Chazal say that the Rishoyim are filled with, imagine you're just living your whole life in regret. And then when people say, I don't regret, it's a lie. You know, you see the non-Jewish world, there's always this famous, I have no regrets. Nonsense. Or you're Russia, Gamal, you know, which is not a good thing.
Right.
The only way these people live and can live with themselves is through regret. But that's not a geschmack way of living. That's like you always make fun of the Litvaks, but like we don't want to be like busy with Charata all the time.
Right.
Like all the time doing like more Shchora, right. Sadness, anger, yeah. Towards our past. And it's not, how do we want to live? We don't want to live that. That's the Meshoyim and Malayim Charatas. They're filled with regret. Sham Rav Meshoyim, Sheesh Bechinas Tov, Venafsham Adayin. These represent majority of wicked, whose soul still lingers some good. And it's good, which causes these feelings of vexation, remorse in their mind and heart. We thus know there are many levels within the rank of the Rush who knows good. So that, remember, Tzaddikim, millions of levels of each right. person. Beinonim as well, we're going to see. There's endless levels within that category. The Rishoyim, endless levels. There's going to be all kinds of Rishoyim who have all kinds of good, but it's not enough to miss Gaba and the Ra overall. That's the problem. It's not enough to win over the evil. The Rush who knows good. That's what we've been discussing. Now we're going to transition to the Russia who knows evil, only Ooh. Evil, the Russia Gomor. And look, how long is it? It's literally three, four lines.
3 lines, that's it.
Okay, so I wasn't just making up. He really just brushes over it. And even that, he sweetens the whole thing because he's a chassid. In the end, right. Chassidim, we don't want to stay with the like the Hitler Machshamam kind of chevra. Right. That's not, unless we're talking about the sons of Haman who right. became Balei Tshuva and Gerim, we're not interested in being in that headspace. You know, it's like you can get in, you can end off, I don't know if you've ever had these conversations with friends, but you can spend like half an hour just going on and on about all the wickedness in the world.
Yeah.
Like Rogan has one of his rants about what's going on nowadays. It's a 3-hour podcast. There's usually going to be about half an hour about how crazy everything is.
Right.
You could do that, but the Hasidim like, no, why waste your time? Let's just do, let's see Asay Tov. Let's see what we can do about it. Nevertheless, we still have to learn it. So it says, Ava Mish Ein Mitzrayat Alam, he who never has feels contrition, Ein Boim Lehoyer Tshuva Klau, Nikra Rasha Viralo, and in whose mind no thoughts of repentance at all ever enters, called a Rasha who knows only evil. So he has no Harata. Literally, that's when you see that concept of no regrets, when it's actually applied, not when someone's just, you know, big mouth, think he's holding on some, like, you know, so-called, right. like, the well-being movement where they've sort of distorted a lot of stuff where yeah. they start to think that they're on this path of no regrets.
Right.
Like they're holding, like they're empowered. Yeah, like yeah. I don't want to say any labels. They're just in a state where they believe totally right. in their path, but it's all towards negative. Yeah,
yeah.
Like these TikTok people, they're like totally into their whole feed and everything they're yeah. doing, but it's all like pulling down. It's all the algorithms the wrong way. Towards evil, unfortunately. Sharash Manashahu Lavado Nishar Bakiba.
Right.
For only the evil in his souls remained in him. Ki gava kolkach alatov aj nistalik bakiba. And it's put over the good, the latter departed from within him or her. I would add in right. her as well. I don't know why. Because they don't like to talk about women so much in this right. time. But yeah, it means both. Yeah, the letters departed from women. Maybe because women are probably on a higher level. I don't know. But the point is that men or people, humans, who have let the evil consume them.
Right. I wonder what that evil is. Like, do we think, like, we don't think about, like, a Russia. So when you think of a Russia, you think of, like, a Russia. Like, he's a Russia. He's a stealer. He's a killer. He's all these Russia stuff. But, like,
I'll be honest. Nowadays, I considered some of these thoughts once. Like, back in the day, before I right. became connected to the Yiddishkeit and Torah and
found, right.
I thank Hashem because it's good to have had those moments of thoughts and experiences because it gave me context, right. a deeper context, like we said, experiential life.
Right.
So sometimes when I looked at some of, like, say, Hitler, like the whole Machshamam, the whole Nazi approach, and I was learning it historically, and I was thinking, like, some of it makes sense, this idea of purifying humanity. Like, why do you want these, like, disabled bad genes in the human world. Like, you right. start getting into this, start thinking about it.
I was right.
Starts being a little bit logical, like, you know, look at technology. Right. They're going to start with China. They're already fiddling around already. Right. They're starting to take gene, what's the word?
Gene pooling
and this gene. Yeah. There's a new genetics, all this high level right. stuff. They're going to start playing around with the human genes to produce the ultimate human beings. They're going to be mama. Big and strong
LeBron
and
James.
Intelligent. But like only the good genes. Right.
They'll probably all be black. Also,
that, so kind of, be, that kind of that kind of way of,
you know,
racially, or there's an ethnic cleansing kind of feel right. to it, which is totally evil.
Right.
But a person could start, you understand, a person could start getting nervous.
Yeah, I think the riches that exist today,
when you start looking at it,
I think the riches that exist today is really, and also because like I used to be in that world a little bit too.
Yeah. So I thought about it.
Comes from saying. That place.
Yeah.
It's like this riches. You see it today, like the people, the we'll call it the liberal world, but
yes, yeah. No, just it's hard to label
it. Marching yeah. out in the street,
yeah.
chanting. You know, river to from the river to the sea. A lot of these people are Jews. It's the saddest yeah. thing. Like these liberal,
yeah.
momish, like toasted Jews.
No, my like, brother just said, you know, I'm so excited. The ceasefire looks like any day. So my like, wife went nuts on the chat, like back at him, and then deleted it because she knows that it's not gonna.
I think it's because these.
She's not gonna become a so it's a family gone. Chat. And we want to keep things positive.
Right.
But what she said right back was totally true. Like, you know, these people are not. They don't want ceasefire. So why give them ceasefire?
Right, right.
They want to kill us.
These people don't want ceasefire.
Yeah.
And
so the only answer about it, such the evil is to remove it.
Sheharasha benafshehu levadei nishar bekirbo, meaning like it's the evil in his animal soul, right? His evil yeah. in his soul is all that remains. And so that the evil overwhelms the good.
Yeah.
It's like,
I'm happy you got this explanation here. I tried to learn this about it, but it's helpful.
The evil from him yeah. overcomes everything. That's all there is. And so he thinks, this yeah. person, say he, just
yeah.
this person thinks it's like you take like Bernie Sandwich. Bernie Sandwich.
Yeah, I mean, Mamish Ben Shapiro says he's not a Jew, like in
he's,
reality.
He's Mamish. So,
he's a Jew just in title, which
so
is hard to say, but
that all
I get it. I get what he's getting at. He's trying to distinguish
how
Jews.
How could you watch your brothers and sisters get yeah. slaughtered and raped and beheaded? And,
yeah.
and all you're talking about is, you know, like, oh, the people yeah. of the occupied.
Yeah.
Like, how could you
right.
how could you look at that and not feel...
Yeah.
Like you have people who are like just Jewish people who had not a sense of Judaism left in them.
Yeah.
And this happened and just like immediately.
Well, I spoke about it yesterday.
Shamalot on fire.
I know some the new generation. He's the old generation who unfortunately picked up a lot of old.
His rishos has sparked a whole generation.
Yeah, it's a whole generation. And people follow him. But the point is that.
Do you have that? The whole in American
new,
politics?
Yeah, but there's
the
a new generation of Jews who are growing up with the internet in their hands. Not just Bernie Sanders, like old school communism.
He sparked that whole.
Yeah, it's coming from the
America.
Old school communists, like. Socialist,
in the
American,
the progressive.
Kalipa from the old days. Yeah. But there's a new version, like I speak to some of the new generation of kids, where they're heading. And they look at technology as their wise tool. They're not looking
yeah.
to the old communist socialist writings like Bernie does. They're looking at the new, you know, data pools and the whole, all the new podcasters and thought leaders. Like,
right.
And they're coming out with all kinds of days of
the
like,
pronouns.
You know, and where they're starting to, you know, I speak to some of them and I said, you know, you keep Yom Kippur. You know, this is a guy, 21, 22, came out of university. No, I'm like, you're a Jew. And when I went back to London, he even got an aliyah and got called up as a Cohen as well. And I'm like, you know, going back and forth with him. And I see so much Jewishness in him and I see so much good in him. He's got such midas and there's so much good that only you can get by being a Yid. Like just
right.
certain natural like goodness that he has, like just Erlichkeit, you know. But then I see also the effect it's had on his mind and his heart and his lifestyle with the lack of Yiddishkeit, yeah?
Right.
So it's sort of like, it's like a Nebuch, like Tinuch Shanishpa, where they never really like experienced true Yiddishkeit to then make that choice.
Wow.
So even though they've got relatives and they've gone to shul and they've had these moments of Judaism, but it was never like penetrating enough to
yeah.
outdo all the other voices, you know?
Mm.
And you know, in the end, I feel like they never really had a fair shot. That's my feeling. A lot of these people never really had a fair shot. They never really were given the truth fully. Like, even they talk to me and even ask me Shilas once in a while. He messages me, this guy, and he asks me Yiddishkeit Shilas, and I give him the true answers. I'm not, you know, I'm not afraid to say the truth to someone. And he always says thank you and appreciates it. And Mamela, maybe it's rubbed off in a little bit, having, you know, someone in like me in his life. But he hasn't become firm. He has not keeping Yiddishkeit. And my thing is because he's never really, like you had a vision for Niggun. That changes your life, yeah? In a proper setup, in a proper real Yiddish experience, you experience it. And your neshama comes on fire for a moment. It tastes something. You see you saw the Bava Rebbe, yeah? You've seen real things. Like things that deny all the shaka in the world, because these people are such ish emetis, they're such lights, beacons of truth. When you've had an experience, a moment of nigunim, a moment of islavis, a moment of emes, that's deeper than all the VR, AR, AI, all the initials, yeah? Deeper than all the excuses to root sim of not being connected to Hashem. That once you've had that moment of truth, it overwhelms. Like one of the things that Rav Wolfson said, like, the Hasidic, the real Hasidic Derech never really got caught up with the Haskala, is because it had Achrayut, it had Panemius connection to Torah, and it had Tzaddikim. And once you've had those moments of tasting a Kugel, yeah, on Erev Shabbos, or the davening of a Shabbos day with the Zmiris and the Nigunim of a Tzaddikim, not just like, you know, putter yourself, real davening, or you've had a real mikveh, heist the mikveh, a real, like real Yiddishkeit moment.
Like a cult mikveh.
Yeah, cult mikveh, an Arizal. You had one of those real moments.
Blast my Neshama.
It's a life-changing moment because you suddenly connect into the world of Emes. Yeah. Now, how do you bring it about? Then we're learning Tanya, you have to constantly work on increasing the Tov and the soul level, the get to yourself to the Beinoni place, where you're no longer listening to the evil inside of you. But these people, a lot of them, I feel, they never really had a full Yiddish moment. They never really had it.
Yeah.
So this is what he says. This is beautiful.
Yeah, this is really nice.
This is Chassidus. The good now stands in a manner of makif over him. Yeah, this is every. This is all the Panemius Torah. The good now stands in makif of mala. Yeah, this is what the Rosh Kollah was hinting at. The good, the shorish of mala is still good, even with the Rishayim Gemurim and Peledik. There's still a light, surrounding light around these people. I called it Oira. It's called, in the worlds of Torah, or Makif, yeah?
Yeah.
This potential light that's surrounding him. It's like a bigger version of him that hasn't yet been internalized.
Wow.
L'chein Amar Rezal, Ochul Be'asara Shchinta Shoria. The last line. See, two lines pretty much covers the Rishayim Gemurim. He says, therefore the sages said, over every gathering of any Jews, even the Rishayim Gemurim, Resh the Shechina, the divine presence.
Which is why, by the way, and how might this sounds a little crazy.
Yeah.
Which is why Hitler wanted to, Yimach Shemo, he wanted to kill all the Jews.
I mentioned this yesterday.
Whether they were from or not, he didn't care.
Buch Shekavanta. And Haman, he says it here. This is the next thing. This is the whole thing. We learned this. The Semach Tzedek says the word Yehudim. Yehudim, normally spelled in the Book of Esther with one letter. Yud before the final letter. Why is it when the word is used in connection with Haman's decree? Haman's decree against the Yidin, it says two yuds. Misyadim, it says two yuds. Right. The Semach Tzedek answered, Yud is numerically equivalent to the 10. It represents a 10 soul power possessed by both the divine and animal souls. Remember, we learned this Esther Spheres of the Nefesh Elikus and Esther Spheres of the Nefesh Bahamas. These are the Jews who conduct their lives solely according to the dictates of the divine's 10 powers, which in the soul's 10 powers, which in other Jews, the animal soul prevails. The coins also by the animal soul's 10 powers. Haman plans to eliminate all Jews, which is what you just said about Hitler as well, Machshamam. Same kind of Nakuda of Amalek.
Right.
Even those who were two Yuds, who were ruled by the 10 evil soul as well. He wanted to kill the guys who married out. You know, famous story of the Klosenberger. He was in the camps. Beautiful story. He was in the camps and he was worse. He was in one of these like death camps and he was with a Hungarian treasurer, the top of Hungary. He was a Yid. He had inside him a Yiddish soul. He was originally from a Yid. Maybe he was even though his mother wasn't Jewish, but his father was. Something like that. Some connection to Jews. So they threw him, the top guy in the Hungary economy, they threw him into the death camp with the Klosenberger. And he's dying on his bed. And he doesn't want anyone to talk to him. He's dying. He's lying there on his bed, dying from hunger. He's not built to be able to survive the camp. Nor was the Rebbe, but the Rebbe had a neshama, had a munna.
Right.
So this guy, everything. He said even his... So the Klosenberger started to talk to him on his last few weeks of his life and started nudging him about Yiddishkeit and stuff, and he was getting angry at the Rebbe. And he said to him, look, he said back to him, so what happens to your non-Jewish wife? Where is she? And all your sons who you gave your whole life to train them to become lawyers and doctors and all this and that. What happened to them? Why aren't they protecting you? Why aren't they coming to save you? They all just bailed on him and got on with his wealth and life and had a good time.
Wow.
So he's like, you're killing me talking like this. The Rebbe, you're making me pain. He said, I want to bring you to tshuva, that's why. I want you to feel charata on everything you did, on your whole life.
Was he?
Yeah, Basof, he was mischaed. He's like, did tshuva the last minute, did shema, did the whole thing, and he passed away, but with having tremendous remorse. Because it came, they were closing Bergen Rome, and let him leave the world, denying his Yiddishkeit. Because in the end, the only thing left he had was being a Yid. That was it. And the Machshamam showed him that that was the only thing he was. He was a Yid. When I was in the non-Jewish world, I got beaten for being Jewish. Beaten.
Right.
My smeis fashnin. I got beaten in a park one time. I got beaten up again and again just for being a Yid. They knew I was a Yid without even having to say anything.
These evil people.
That, the Haman, no problem. The Hitler, that wakes up the Yiddish and the Shama. Misyadim. It wakes up the soul that we're Yid in. So the Shechina Shoira, even when we're in a state of Golis, we're in a state of, God forbid, a Holocaust or what happened in the times of Megillah, a Gezerah on all of Klai Yisrael. It was such a Gezerah. Came the Semach Tzedek, and it's Masbir, that the 10 powerful levels of the soul, the Jewish divine soul, that's the extra yud in the Misyadim. So when the world is spurred, sometimes 2 years, even after he was appalled, to which Semach responded. Someone asked him and said, but it says Misyadim again and again now, later on in the Megillah.
Okay.
And look, we're Erev Purim right now. So it's Hashgacha Pratis, we're learning this.
This is crazy.
After suffering under Haman's evil decree and ultimately witnessing God's salvation, even though Jews repented and became equals of their brethren who were led by the dictates of the divine soul and its good inclination. They were the guides, Tzadikim Gomorim, Tzadikim Shein and Gomorim, the Beinanim, all those guys who worked so hard for Yiddishkeit. Come, these Rishoyim Gomorim. They're Rishoyim Gomorim. Thus concluded the Semach said that the two Yuds is also Yiddish for Jew became equal. They became equalized. So I said over a vort, when you make a lachaim, you have two yids in the middle. You ever thought about that? The old Siddurim, do you remember the two yids of Shem Avaya?
Yeah.
That's keneged yud of Shem Avaya and Shem and the end yud of Adni. Pesachet yudecha, open up the yudin, open up the Jews to be shefedik, to be lachaimdik. Pesachet yudecha, open up the shef, open up lachaim, open up amisov, misyadim. Bring Am Yisrael, all of Klai Yisrael to tshuva. So the Bernie Sanders even, he has an Ormakif. I know he's so far off and he has such problems of what the bad influence he's had. But Basof, you could still probably have the Shechina when he came into a room with the Knesset members. There were 9 Knesset members.
Right.
And they weren't even keeping Torah. They're also like left-wing, liberal, whatever they are in Israel. There's a whole bunch of them.
Yeah.
And they come in a room with Bernie Sanders and there's 10 of them, Shechina Shura.
The Shechina's there.
And the guy I mentioned who doesn't keep Yom Kippur, the Shechina Shura. I don't understand it, but that's the Hamtaka from Chassidus. It won't stay by the Rishoyim Gemurim. It won't stay in a negative place. You see, right. This is the Derech of Chabad. It's Meshichtik. It takes us straight to the point the Shechina is still sure in these guys. And that's Big Chizik. He says underneath, he says, thus the good in the soul is in a state of suspended animation. That's the idea of the Omaki. Paralyzed, yet not destroyed. Hence, even the completely wicked individual can go through a permanent reactivate the good and repent for the gates of repentance not closed to anyone. That is to say, even if they are wicked, the Shekhinah hovers over them. Even the old language talks this way. Yeah, this is...
It's amazing. It's an interesting Indian also. Like, the Shekhinah is still there, just it's hovering right now. It's waiting.
Yeah. So I think it's a big lesson, just the fact that he brushes over the Rishoyim Gemurim very quickly.
Yeah.
And ends off with this whole sweetening. The Shechina's there, the Or Makiv. There's still this potential, the Ur of Shom Mashiach will be Megala, the truth, the Misyadim, the Ulam Yisrael are equal. Ame Kulam Tzadikim. That's the true equality. That was the problem. All these Yidden, they get lost in Golas. They start trying to bring equality in the wrong ways. It's the quality of neshama. It's the quality lifnei Hashem, titaru, that we're all going to be purified by Hashem. It comes from only equality of outcome can come through panimius. It's not going to come through gashmius. That was the problem. They listened to the nefesh bahamis. They wouldn't listen to the nefesh of the elikus.
Which is the
ultimate.
Again, this is the ultimate. This is the ultimate reassurance to anyone who's. Feeling like they've been, you know, a guy's in a bad spot, someone's done something as bad as possible. The Sometimes you feel like a piece of crap. Like
yeah, that's the Yetzer.
Go home, you're a tyrant to your children.
The sin after the sin, the way you think about yourself.
Right. That's the biggest sin.
If you remind yourself you're a Yid.
And then the sin of thinking can about destroy the sin. A Yid. Being,
the Yid is eternal.
Right, yeah. The, no matter what, the Shekhinah is always there and it's always hovering over your body.
Yud is Gematria 10. It's the Shekhinah. The Shekhinah.
Not only that, it's like...
You made Salam Elohim.
It's like godly. If... The thing I love about the idea of like over 10, right? It says is like even if you're in a room of 10 Rishayim,
yeah,
or you're in a room of 10 Tzaddikim, yeah, you still need the 10. It's like it doesn't make a difference the makeup of it. It's all
that's what the Rosh Kodesh said. Neshama. Where do we learn out the lesson of the minion? Where do we learn out minion from? Eidus Koirach.
Right.
Eidim Raglim. We learn it out from the Raglim, from Koirach, from the worst of Am Yisrael in the Doradei, in the holiest time. We learn out from the lowest guys, from the guys who did the biggest of errors. I mean, they were high neshamas, but they were fell the lowest, Koirach and the Meraglim. And they're the Eida. They're the minion. That's where we learn it from, the halacha of a minion.
Right. My Koirach was like the first one of the progressive...
He's the shoresh of anyone who's misnagged Moshe.
What is it called? The democratic progressive society. They have like a name for it.
Nonsense.
The people in America. Nonsense. Okay, yeah. Well, let me see.
Let's start. Sefer Benin.
Yeah, we'll start it.
It says beautiful thing.
My Isha wants to.
Yeah.
Sounds a weird word, Isha.
Your wife.
My Isha. When someone says Ishti.
Ishti.
It just sounds like. A translation of Ishti is my woman.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I call my wife Woman. You know why Woman?
Why?
Because it's a man of woes.
Ah, there you go.
It's a little bit silly. Like when my wife's in like one of those moods where she's woeing, you know, like got issues with me or issues with our life, I'm like, you're being a woman.
It's like a funny language because you call your wife Ishti, my woman, and she calls me Habal.
Bali.
Our master.
Yeah. Like, you like that one.
I'm just like
Bali.
Just sounds so strange. Really, she's so smart.
If I show you the reels my wife sends me, it's always the worlds of gorillas, you know, being annoying.
Except that's actually like the other way around.
We have to try to be more neshama. That's the answer. Okay, Zayd is in. That's from the Arizal.
That's some Klippas.
That's all good. You should focus in. So the idea now, the Perek Shtemesrei 12, Beinoni. We're finally getting back to the Beinoni. Right. Yeah, the term Tzaddik and Russia, we've been dealing with this whole avoda of Tzaddik and not Russia. Who is this not neither? Who is not a Tzaddik, not a Russia? The Beinoni.
The in-betweener.
In-betweener, that's a good one. So with Shmuel Diamond, let's just see it very quickly from his
summary.
B'nai Aliyah.
I call myself the in-betweener.
That's quite a good band name, actually. Not bad. Let's do it.
I also had another
I'll make name. Another profile.
Another good name for a band.
This is still Sensory the Inner Struggle. Overload. That's another good one.
That's a good one. I thought of it
especially
yesterday.
For our door.
Sensory overload.
Too much. The Beinoni. The Beinoni never does an Avera, nor in thought, nor in speech. Action, meaning the garments of the Beinoni are perfect. And the Rebbe says he never did an Avera, nor will he ever do an Avera. So this is obviously a Madrega. But the emotions of the Nefesh Elikus do not have exclusivity over the Beinonis in the world. The emotions of Nefesh Bahamias are still alive and experienced. With the correct energy and activity, in particular tefillah, at the correct time, the Beinoni contemporary experience is dissolution of the emotions of the Nefesh Bahamias. But in the default state, he still experiences the drives of both the Nefesh Bahamias and the Nefesh Elikus. So he never actually acts on it, but he's still back and the dynamics are still, the struggle is still there.
Right.
Which, you know, halavai, we should be on such a level, but that's the concept. Then we're going to talk about the moyach sholet al alev, the mind rules over the heart, meaning that we're actually naturally able to overcome the devices of the nefesh bahamis by using our minds. Distract, which is a madrega also, to have a big koyach and moyach, to have a big mind, to be able to rule over your nefesh bahamis, the left side of the heart. Distraction, disidentification are effective ways of controlling one's behavior.
Right.
He's bringing that from the Chabad, but you know where he's getting that from also? Eckhart Tolle. He's very into Eckhart Tolle, my friend.
Oh, this guy?
He's very into... I always know when he's going off a little bit into some of his Sfarim Chitzonim. He's into his Sfarim. He's very big fan of Eckhart Tolle.
What is it? Chochma Umas, whatever.
Umam Tamin. Yeah, he holds that this can totally one with the Tanya. The whole concept of disassociation.
A lot of it is
and
like
and disidentification.
Have you read the book, The Alchemist?
That also is a special book. That book changed me in university. Yeah. That lit me up.
I recommended it to my wife. She read it and she recommended it to
me. It's like a Baal Shem Tov story.
Yeah. And then Toby told me recently, he just finished reading it because his wife recommended it to him. Ooh, my wife.
See, these are books I read like when I was 18, like when I was reading the Khuzari and I was reading the Alchemist at the same time.
Yeah, the Alchemist was.
Misbehavior takes place because of a ruach shtus, spirit of insanity.
Yeah.
The Beinoni is not ascetic because he has control of only his behavior, nor his emotions, and is therefore subject to his huria vera. So he still has thoughts of carnal union and whatever. He has all kinds of thoughts, yeah. But he's never acting on them. It's never impacting to the level of a vera. Right. It's just it's an inner struggle. The Beinoni will always treat his fellow kindly, even in his thoughts, and not hold any negative, toxic resentment. So that's also between man and man. So there's between man and man. It also means a Beinoni is never going to be toxic. He's always in a good space. So
he's saying he's never actually upset at other people.
He
might be, but he doesn't act.
No, he never acts on it. So he
might also hold the resentment.
So you've got to always go to the healthy emotions. He's a healthy emotional person as well. I'm glad he brought that. You think it's all like sacral here, but then no, we're learning. This is all about the struggle going on in the inner world, which includes the emotions. The spiritual levels of the emotions as well. So we're here, we've got the Rasha, we've got the Beinoni, and we've got the Tzaddik. So that's the levels. The Beinoni accomplishes by not allowing himself to be dominated anyway by the animal soul, even for the shortest duration, never thinking, speaking, surely not acting in a sinful manner. This is lessons in Tanya now. The garments of the divine soul alone, namely thought, speech, and action, Torah mitzvah, are those used by the Beinoni. Okay, let's read a few lines just so we start. Beinoni hu sh'olam eina ra goba kolkach l'kovich etz ir katana. Back to the ir katana mochel.
Right.
The Beinoni intermediate man is who, this is what he calls it here. What does he call it there? The in-betweener man?
The in-betweener.
He says that the intermediate man.
Is a person whose evil never gains him. Right.
Yeah. In whom the evil of the animal soul never attains power to conquer the small city. So he has the right side of the heart, the left side of the heart, it's ir katana. Both sides are called the ir katana. There's a war in this city, the small city. Now, the left side is the Yetzirah Hara, or Nefesh Bahamas. The right side is influenced by the Nefesh HaLakus from the Mayach, from the mind. And it never dominates the Yetzirah Hara, the left side, over the Yetzirah Tov on the right side. This Laubish Bagur Flachatoi. So it's to clothe itself and make it actually sin. So he's not actually going to influence him and actually go and eat that treif sandwich or something.
Right.
Or speak that treif for Lashon Hara or do that longer, langer mice of Bittul Torah. Yeah.
Right.
I say longer because the subtle levels might not be shaykh to the chait because it's like levels for Dibara Tabam. Always obligated to Torah. So then nobody doesn't sin. So these are more edler things we'll get into. Dainush Shalish is Levushi Nefesh Bahamas. They say the three garments of the animal soul, Shehe Machshava Diba Masa and Shemesada Klipa. So that's, remember, we learned the three garments, thought, speech, action. This is originating in what? The klipa, the animal soul.
Right.
Ein kaburim ba al nefesh al akis l'slabish beguf. They do not prevail over the right side of the heart and the mayach, where the nefesh al akis is, to actually clothe itself in action, in speech, and thought. B'mach b'peh b'sharamach avayim l'chatoyim l'tameim chas v'sholem. We've had a little bit of contradictions with Shmuel's Diamond's point about in that he does still have some hirhurim. So we're going to have to get into that. So it's an edible thing.
Right. Little intricacies.
Yeah. We're going to get into that. So in the brain, the thinking forbidden thoughts of the animal soul, nor in the mouth to speak Lashon Hara or Nivel Peh, or in the actions of the 248 organs of the human being, what it does. And he's not going to do sin to defile them, God forbid. Because that case, he would be a rasha for that moment. And remember, this is also could be a concept in time as well. There could be some fluctuations. That he has a moment of falling into the rasha level, but then he gets himself out of that and back into the level of Beinonim where he's never doing sins.
Interesting.
I would say there's a lot of, in the real, real levels of life, there's going to be a lot of fluctuating around all these different terminologies and levels. So you'd have to drive yourself mad. Where am I now? What you have to do is try to figure out what I want to be.
Right.
So it's about more to do with Rotzen. That's what we're learning in the Shir in the morning with Rosh Shlomo, the idea of Rotzen, Tanug, getting into the Panimis, what we want. What's the vision? If we have the right vision, then we'll constantly get out of any of the negative lifestyles or ways of being. That's why the Panimis is very key. Only the three garments of the mind soul, they alone manifest themselves in the body. So this is a real Torah Dika person. he's only allowing, it's still there, there's still this like little voice in his left side saying, you know, all these like weird things and this inner turmoil, this inner struggle, but it's never clothing itself in his speech.
He's never allowing it to turn into action.
Rather, the godly soul was the one that's talking. He's thinking godly thoughts, he's speaking godly words, he's acting godly, he's doing the Tarag mitzvahs, it's all Torah. He's busy with the 630 mitzvahs.
That crossing off point between machshava and it's still being there, right?
Yeah.
It's like machshava is like, let's just say, we'll use something a little bit, a kosher one. So a guy is a machshava of eating McDonald's.
Yeah.
You know, the non-kosher version.
Sure.
So you have a machshava and then he starts thinking about it. I guess that maybe the difference is you drive past the McDonald's and you're like, oh, McDonald's. And then you start thinking, I'd love to have some cheddar cheese on my fleishigs. Mm.
Sure. So that whole inclination that we still have, the wants, those kind of things you're talking about, so that is what we're going to discuss, is that it doesn't manifest. It's just there. Did you see the difference?
Yeah. It doesn't manifest. Present. Right.
And this is important. That means we have to be real, that we have a Nefesh Bahamas.
Yeah.
It's still part of our life.
Yeah.
We're just not giving it...
Cheeseburger.
We're not giving it precedence. We're not giving it power.
Right. We're not feeding it the cheeseburger.
Yeah. We're saying no. I'm a Fumyid. The Fumyid don't eat cheeseburgers. Sorry. Yeah. You have like a certain... you define, like he said it deeply from Eckhart Tolle, you don't... I don't know if he Vada quoted it, but I'm getting the feeling he did. You're not associating yourself with that line of life. You know, it's nothing to do with you. So once it's no longer part of your lifestyle and your way, you're never going to really do it. You're never going to do the Avera because you're from Yid.
Yid
is not so great. You're a Shomer Torah Yid. You're a Sadik. Oh, no, you're a Sadik. Because that would be correct. You're not a Sadik. You're
a Rosh Hashanah Gomer.
No.
That's a good compliment.
No. No, you know, over here we're learning Beinoni now.
Right.
You're not a Rosh because you're not going to give into it.
I'm just joking.
You've defined yourself as Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, I suppose.
Right.
But how would you feel comfortable defining it? And when people ask me, like, you know, what are you? Are you Orthodox, ultra-Orthodox? Are you Haredi? Are you Hasidish? Or Meshuggah? Right. You're just, you know, they have all these terminologies. I just say, I'm trying to serve Hashem, you know, like Eved Hashem. That I feel comfortable saying. I want to be an Eved Hashem. Right. I'm working every day to be an Eved Hashem. I want to serve Hashem.
Right.
That includes Torah mitzvahs. When someone
asks you, what do you do for a living? You're like, I serve Hashem. That's what I do for a living.
Yeah. Your panas is a way of serving Hashem.
I feel uncomfortable saying that to people.
But your panas is serving Hashem.
When people ask me, oh, what do you do for a living?
But it really is serving Hashem. Because what do you use your panasa for? Wrong with it. What do you use? How much do you pleasure yourself? Not much.
My money I use towards drugs. No, I'm joking.
No, seriously. I'm your friend. Right, I see what you're up to.
Right.
From what I see, you're using it to go to a simmer and svat. Dira and svat, to be able to hang out with Avshi and the mikveh, Arizo. And, you know, you're doing good things. You're using your money to pay for hinuch. You're using money to have a nice enough car you can fit all your family in to be able to do these things.
Right.
You know, you've got a dira and you're in clothing. The no way as nice as you can have in America, but it's still nice enough for your wife. It's not going to shecht you.
Right. Know? It's a perfect balance.
Yeah. So it's like, this is using, that's Eved Hashem. You're using a panasa for Avodas Hashem. So that once again, we have to be Malamed Tzvi. Let's end off. Ain't Gaburim al Nefesh Elikus Abish Beguf, Nepeh, Beshah, all the different things. It's not affecting that. Rach Shalish Vish Nefesh Elikus Abish Beguf. It's all going to stay in the realm of Maaseh Shel Tarag Mitzvah Zotorah. Lo Ova Avera Miyomav Lo Yavo Lo Olam. The Beinoni has never committed any transgression, nor will he ever transgress. That's why I said, I'm not going according to Tanya. I'm going to cause reality that you're going to fluctuate. According to Tanya, a real Beinoni, he never sinned. He never sinned his whole life. He never had Coca-Cola, yeah? Or the other kind of Coke.
It is as if.
No, he says, lo yavo lo olam.
Oh, no, he adds this little word here.
He does?
Once he reached level Beni, it is as if he has never committed any transgression.
Oh, wow.
Because any trace
that's a of completely prior different sins translation.
Have been wiped out through repentance. Notes on Tanya. What's notes on
Tanya? That is a completely different translation.
Who's notes on Tanya?
Maybe these. Lord Nikralav, we have to read it now and we'll finish on that. Lord Beinani, as long as it's natural. Oh, wait a minute. And on the other hand, you're right. He brings a note underneath. On the other hand, past offenses need not preclude one from attaining the rank of Beinoni. If there is proper repentance at any rate, the rank of Beinoni is defined in the Tanya as a far superior rank of the Tzaddik, as defined generally when it applied to one whose good deeds exceeded the bad.
Right.
Yeah, the standard of what we understood Tzaddik was good deeds exceeding the bad.
And if you take some of the Torah of Levi Yitzchak,
Tzaddik of the Tanyas doesn't even have bad bechlau, right. Just tiny minimal bad. So this concept, this is the last line, lo nikra lav shem rasha afilu sha'achas rega achas kol yamav. The name rasha has never belonged to him, our temporarily, not even for a moment, throughout his life. So this is a high level. Beinoni never ever fell. There was no transition. There was no falling into sin. It was just the whole life. That's the strict translation here. You put in as if. Yeah? And that's from Chaim Miller. From Chaim Miller. And it's based on the notes. Let's see what the Rebbe says and we'll stop on this. The Rebbe sheet of notes, the question is well known. Regardless of the Beinoni is one never transgressed the questions commonly raised. Is it not possible through repentance subsequent divine service, is what I'm holding in the Baal Tshuva world, the one attained the rank of Beinoni despite his previous sins, after repenting one can rise even to the level of a Tzaddik. Surely then the rank of Beinoni is not beyond his reach. We have answered this question in the following manner. When the Alter states Beinoni never transgressed, he does not mean that Beinoni never sinned in his life as a human being, but in his life as a Beinoni has no history of sin. The Beinoni's present spirit state is such that sin in his past as well as his future has no place in his life. You hear the Nakuda? It's as if he never sinned. So it is, like you just said. He did sin, but he never. It says now he's got to a level where it's as if he never sinned. It doesn't feature.
It's not all
he would not sin even if he was subject to the same temptations and charges which led to sin in the past. Therefore, true to state from the perspective of his present, he never sinned. Like the statement that Beinoni would never sin is understood the same vein. There's another is possible to sin. He does not, after all, lose his freedom of choice. While explained above, his present state is such that it precludes sinning in the future despite the trials that the future may bring. He's become a Shomer Torah Mitzvah Yid. He's not going to fall into this. It's not part of his inner makeup as well.
We could all be being him.
Yeah, we really can, based on this explanation. Thanks to the Rebbe and the clarification here. To be cast a true Beinoni, one must fulfill these conditions. For if one spiritual tape includes the sinning only under present conditions, some to a sin with subject to the temperature, then he'd be a Rasha Sheino Gomo. Yeah? So the problem, in the same way, the author includes the same Rasha referring to one's sins, being applied to have temporarily. For the Beinoni has reached a state where sin is precluded under any circumstances. It remains to be understood that when a lofty person is considered a Beinoni, not a Tzaddik, this matter is now clarified. So we're going to get into the chiluk between the Tzaddik and the Beinoni. But the Beinoni and the Rosh Hashanah Gomo, the chiluk is he's got to level where it's as if he never sinned.
Okay, you just change the G into the Y.
Yeah.
And it says?
The Slayer edition.
Edition. So we're going to do it. Okay, Givaldik, tomorrow, maybe we'll do after Shacharit.
Yeah.
Because this is a Shalom Bias administrative decision.
Okay, I'm up for it.
Because it's tough, you know.
I think it's, if you're able to make the change, I'm able to make the change.
All right.
I'm here for it. Let's change. Torah to change you. That was another good idea.